Thank you, Brother Paul. Good morning, church. Happy New Year to you all. First of all, I'm indebted to Pastor Paul and Margie and the leadership team of this local Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church for allowing Michelle and I to be a part of this wonderful church family. You have received us and loved us well, and for that we are truly grateful. We consider it an honor and a blessing. And as members, we look forward to doing our part to carry out the mission and vision of this local church, loving God, loving others, and making disciples, because we believe that this vision statement is truly a biblical statement, which reminds us of our purpose, our primary purpose here in this world. Now, this is the second time that I've been asked to bring the message, and I'm honored to do so. My topic for today, year 2021, a call to persevere, which is, of course, being faithful to a cause, to hang in there. Don't give up. We have to press on. And the text is from the Epistle of Jude, verses 1 through 25. Now, what's interesting about today's message is that in going through my Bible, I found notes which I took back in October of 2019. While visiting a certain church here in Jonesboro from a certain pastor whose name is Paul, whose message came from this very same epistle. And he had this topic that Sunday, grace or license. How many of y'all remember that? All right, well, I did. Like a good pastor, he gave us three main points, which I noted. All right, you'll see me. Every Sunday, I take notes, regardless of who the speaker is. I take notes, okay, because it helps me. The three points he made concerning Jude was, one, grace is more than forgiveness. Two, through grace, Jesus also requires our cooperation. And three, grace gives us the power to resist sin. I found this message to be so helpful, and I was encouraged that I took the notes. This is no coincidence, and I share this with you to encourage you to consider making it a new habit for the new year. I'm sure that you too will be blessed from the message that God gives us through His servants. Now, as Christians and members of this local church, we believe in the authority of Scripture and the importance of Scripture reading in the church. In fact, Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Therefore, listen closely and hear these precious words from the Bible, God's love letter to us. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered His people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these He has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak about abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed by Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit.' But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, as your people, waiting to hear what you have for us this morning. We thank you, God, that your word is true. Your promises never fail. And Father God, we pray now that you will guide me, Lord, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart truly be acceptable in your sight. You are our source of strength and joy and peace and our salvation. Amen. Now, in dealing with this topic that I mentioned earlier, it is always helpful to give some background information on the text that we're working with. We have to consider such factors as the author, the audience that they're writing to, when it was written, and most important, the purpose for writing this letter. And here are some answers we learn from the text that I read. In terms of the background, it is written by a man named Jude around the end of the first century AD, and he identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James in verse 1. What he fails to tell us is that he is also one of the biological half-brothers of Jesus. This tells us something about his attitude of humility, a necessary prerequisite for all believers in coming to God for salvation and receiving his bountiful blessings, as well as for serving God each and every day. Remember that Old Testament verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God said to King Solomon, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It all begins with humility. Jude saw Jesus as more than a biological brother, but as his master, his Lord, his Savior. Now consider this for a minute. In our culture, we love to drop names of people who are rich and famous and powerful. We say, "Do you know so-and-so?" Or, "I'm a friend of so-and-so." I don't have to drop names, as I'm often asked the question, "Are you related to the Howard Johnson?" You know, sometimes I would say, "Unfortunately not." But is it not much better to say to them, "But I'm a child of God with a name that is written down in the book of life. Yes, if I die today, I know where I will spend eternity." Let us praise God for our salvation. Don't forget that. Very important. Verse 2 gives us the audience. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Folks, that's us, believers, the church. What a beautiful description of the church of Jesus Christ. He says more about the keeping power of the Lord Jesus in verse 24 when he writes, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." In addition, Jude expresses some words of salutation or expressions of greetings to the church when he says in the latter part of verse 2, and he says, "Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance." What he's telling us is that he wishes us so much more of God's mercy, peace, and love. Not just a teaspoon amount of each, but like a bucketful being poured out on us. Isn't that awesome? Wow, what a blessing. Does our world not need more mercy, more peace, and more love? All of these have been provided to us freely in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we recall that famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It only comes through faith in Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world, whose birthday we just celebrated. In terms of the letter's purpose, we are given that in verse 3 when he starts out by telling us that he really wanted to talk about the topic of salvation matters. Now, who wouldn't want to talk about that or hear about that? However, Jude quickly tells us of a sudden change in his purpose for writing this short letter when he states the following in verse 3. "I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people." Now, some of you may ask, what in the world is he talking about? Or why is there ever a need for a Christian to contend or fight for the faith? Well, I'm glad you ask, because Jude spends much of his time in this letter on this topic, and I'm not going to spend much time on this part in terms of the issue of false teachers and false doctrine. You know, Paul did a wonderful job back in October of last year, of 2019, and even last year, and a number of our brothers who have preached last year also did the same thing, and we are thankful for that. So, in fact, Jude devotes 13 of the 25 verses in his letter to the topic of false teachers and false doctrines. So, he does so for the express purpose of not only warning the early church and us of what can happen to the church when we let these individuals and false teachings creep into and take root in the body of Christ, the church of the living God, but he also provides some very practical help for us which led me to select my topic for today, a call to persevere. Yes, even with this being a new year, Satan is not slowing down in his efforts to destroy the church of the living God. Let me repeat that. Satan is not slowing down in his efforts to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. In fact, I believe that his efforts will continue to intensify. He will continue to do so in some familiar and yet some subtle ways. And so, I want to encourage you to reread these verses when you get home today and during the coming weeks, as I want you to know the same problem which Jude and the early apostles had to deal with is still present among us today. My brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged by this news. In fact, I want the very opposite to happen. I want you to be encouraged in your Christian walk because the very fact that it is happening is confirmation that God's word is true and that his promises are faithful and trustworthy. Don't ever forget that. We must persevere because we have a sure victory made available to us through Jesus Christ and his faithful Holy Spirit. Praise God. That is our message to share to a world that desperately needs to know the answer. I was talking with someone last week in my chaplain role. I wear different hats. One of them is as a chaplain. And I had to say to this person that, listen, if I had the cure for the worst disease and I kept it to myself, would there be a greater crime? Would there be a greater crime? Well, you see, the greatest problem we have is the sin problem. And the cure, the vaccine has been given, came in the form of a baby at Christmas, Jesus the Christ. And that has changed everything. Yes, we must be concerned about the time that we're in, and we're still in the pandemic. But let us never forget the greatest pandemic we have is that of sin. But there is a Savior. The vaccine is already available. Let us give it away. Let us do so. My focus today is on what our response should be to the threat of false teachers and false doctrines being hurled at the church today. Trust me, I come to you with fairly recent personal experience and some very relevant examples of some of the threats that we're facing today in the church. As in the time of Jude, it is critical that we accept by faith the authority of Holy Scripture. We must believe it and persevere in our daily walk as New Testament believers. How do we do that? Jude provides some valuable and practical answers in verses 17 through 23 of how to do this. And now here are five observations or lessons that I wanted to share with this for this coming year for all of us. Number one, persevere by remembering the word of God as given to us in the Bible. That's verse 17 makes that clear. Persevere. Do you remember hearing the word of God spoken or taught when you were young? Maybe through a parent or a grandparent or a neighbor or even a pastor. What about when you became a Christian? For me, it was, you know, I did not grow up in a Christian family, and yet I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 16 in a public high school in the beautiful island of Jamaica. Because of young Christians who not only believed the Bible, but their lives demonstrated it. Does that still happen? Do you have to be in a church to be a Christian? God forbid, that's not true. Okay? God can save you anywhere, anywhere you are. And so one of the first things I learned as a new believer is I was taught to memorize scriptures very early. And two of my favorite Bible verses are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. These verses have become my life verses. Do you have one or two? Why not? Trust me, it will help you time and time again. Number two, persevere by building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Verse 20 says that. Persevere by building yourselves up in your most holy faith. How do you build yourself up? Well, by making it a priority to do those things which help you grow stronger each day. We have to make sure that we eat a good meal, they say, right? We have to do our exercise, especially after these holiday eatings that we've had. We have to take our vitamins. We have to get a good night's rest, etc. All of these things are good because they're essential to normal, healthy living. Jude uses this analogy to tell us to do the same in our most holy faith. The Apostle Paul gives us some good advice also when he says in 1 Timothy 4:8, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." In today's world of technology, we can use our quote-unquote smart devices, like our phones or our computers, to help us grow each day. We can listen to the Bible on our way to work or to school. We can have our devotions or quiet time in our car or by listening to a great Bible teacher or listen to good and inspiring, uplifting praise and worship songs from a favorite Christian radio station like New Life Radio on 90.7 or 91.7 FM here in our listening area. There are others. The methods are endless. Christian, we have no excuse. There are more translations of the Bible and versions of the Bible now in our lifetime than any other time in the history of this world. You think of a verse, just put it in Google. The Googler, we call it, right? And it'll bring you the Word of God. Interesting. I don't know how long that'll continue, because I think in China they figured out how to stop that. But the thing is, the Word of God is still available to us. If not, rely on the old faithful Word of God, your Bible. Many of you still have it, don't you? Take it out. Dust it off. Use it. What good is it if you don't use it? And so we have to persevere in that. If you're struggling with this area of growing each day, how to grow, then please have someone in whom you trust to become an accountability partner. Ask someone to hold you accountable this year. For me, it's my wife and my high school sweetheart, Michelle. And if you don't have one, ask God to show you that person and definitely go for it. The third observation from today's lesson is we must persevere by praying in the Holy Spirit, verse 20. I, along with many others here at Three Point Bible Church, we are so thankful for the prayer ministry of this church. Thank you, prayer warriors, for being so faithful. God desires this of us, and he still answers prayers, and we promise that we will always give him glory, don't we? Even now, there are many, many needs. Paul expressed some this morning, but there are many needs on your heart, whether here or online this morning, many, many needs. But God is faithful. We persevere in prayer. Prayer is talking to God and allowing him to speak to us. And Jude tells us to pray in the Holy Spirit. Remember, every believer has the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Okay? That's how you know you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit is in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not a Christian. Simple, right? We know a tree by the fruit it bears. And so God has given us the greatest helper that we can ever have or imagine, the precious Holy Spirit. Even when we don't feel like praying, the Holy Spirit is still at work on our behalf. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." Isn't that awesome that God does that through us? Fourth, persevere in keeping yourselves in God's love as you wait. Verse 21. Persevere in keeping yourselves in God's love as you wait. We all are tested each day to see how committed we are in our faith as believers. Jude tells us to keep ourselves in God's love as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, brothers and sisters, we have a great future ahead of us. And if you believe that, then hear me when I say now, if we truly believe that Jesus is coming soon, then how is that being reflected in the way I live each day? Let me repeat that. If we truly believe that Jesus is coming soon, then how is that being reflected in the way I live my life each day? Jude reminds us of what's truly important. The love of God as seen in the life and ministry of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his half-brother, must now be seen in us, the church. Jesus taught all his disciples and us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. This is not a suggestion, by the way. It's a command. This is the priority we each have, and every day we must be about doing it. Everything we do must flow from obedience to this greatest of all commandments. Love God. Love people. Finally, persevere in demonstrating your love for God by how you love others. Verses 22 and 23, Jude uses these verses in a very practical way to demonstrate our love for God and our neighbors by telling us to be merciful to those who doubt. There are many people who are doubting God right now. Many. Yet, we are told to be merciful to those who doubt. Listen to them. Be a friend to them so that they can hear. Jude says, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with holy fear. Is that not a powerful picture? Many years ago, there was a famous preacher who preached on in the hands of an angry God. You remember that? Many years ago. Many pastors know about it. But the thing is, Jude is reminding us that there are people dying every day while we're here on this life. Every day. We have a purpose. We have a mission to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to these fellows, these friends, these co-workers, these family members. We must. If you believe that heaven is real, you better believe hell is real. In our world today, we like to acknowledge heaven, but not hell. It's real, according to Jesus and the Word of God and all the prophets. So, this is so important for us. We all know people in our lives, family members, neighbors, friends, co-workers, who are still searching for answers. But my brother, my sister, my friends this morning, the answer has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must tell them and show them the love of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Let us never forget that as we await the imminent return of our loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we have a work cut out for us. The work is not finished. This is a brand new year. It's a great time to start anew. Let us persevere and be found faithful in humbling ourselves before God, in building each other up in the most holy faith, in praying in the Holy Spirit, in keeping ourselves in God's love, and most importantly, demonstrate our love for God in the way we love others. I can tell you that one of the greatest ways to encourage your pastor and other believers is for them to see and hear how the people of this church and those listening today, how you are allowing God to use you in mighty ways to further the work of the kingdom. I know for this church, we say by loving God, by loving others, and by making disciples. I close with the precious words of our text, otherwise called the doxology. And it says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Father, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.